There's the what we call the retail side of the business, and then there's the restaurant side of the business. The idea was to have everything under one roof. There's a few concepts like that in Paris, didn't exist here. I always loved fashion, I always loved jewelry and food. It's really an extension of who I am.
My impression, it feels like a community.
It is really a community. Yeah. They took my passport and they stamped it with housewife not allowed to work.
Are they lease the space or you guys buy it?
We buy.
This is what you guys created.
So this was a garage.
Okay.
I had no clue about the people of the region. You know, the Emirati, would they come? Would they like this kind of concept? The menu is changing every day, also depending on what we get, you know, from the farms.
How are you guys running, let's say, marketing or sales?
Strong database. We've been working here for 10 years, so we do newsletters, many guides. We also reference in all the hotels. Important part of the work is always to find the best possible brand. When it's homemade, with love, you just feel it in your plate. You just feel it in your body.
How do you manage your time?
I don't know if I told you that, but I also have a vegan chain of restaurants. 9 restaurants in Paris, I have 3 in Dubai, in Amsterdam, and it's a lot of work.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode up. Today with the team we're stepping in the world of Comptoir 102. Unique blend with between concept store and cafe here in Dubai in Jumeirah Road. They founded in 2012 and definitely one of the pioneers in that concept store and healthy kitchen itself. I will sit with the founder for a casual chat to talk about what it takes to run a retail space and coffee shop under the same room. And what is in common between curated fashion, design, and mindful living? Well, let's go and check it out. Good morning, Emma.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah,
nice to have
nice
you here.
Nice to see you as well.
Comptoir 102.
Comptoir 102.
Comptoir 102. Yes,
okay.
That's the name.
I need to a little bit.
I know it's a bit of a complicated name.
What is it? What does it mean?
Oh, it's Comptoir is a French name, and 102 just stands for the number of the street.
Okay.
So it's quite of a...
And the word...
doesn't really have a real meaning to it. It's just a name that...
The word itself?
The word itself, comptoir, is a French name where when you go to a coffee in or a bar in France, you always sit at the comptoir to have a quick coffee. It's those kind of high bars where you just grab a little thing, you know, to eat or something
like
that.
We've been served in France.
So it's called a comptoir. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to find out what you guys do here.
Yeah,
with the concept
sure.
itself.
Yeah, very happy to show you and give you a tour of the concept store.
Okay.
So you will see that we have different sections here, really trying to cover everything that we would need, be it for ourselves or for the house or for the beauty or for even eating. So we really tried to make it a one-stop destination, and it really is the first concept store of the region. Back in the time it was, and we opened in 2000. When was it? 12. There was nothing close to that at the time. Now you can find a few, and it's also very different because you can really shop outside of a mall, which is really not the culture of this country. Usually, when you want to shop, you always go into a mall. But me, as a French, I said, no way, I cannot stand in a mall more than 3 minutes. So I really tried to do it, in a different way. And here we are with this little villa just alongside the beach.
So that was like a living villa or just like commercial villa?
It was a living villa, and then we managed to get a commercial lease to it. This is now it's a commercial lease, and it's a street that is quite well known. So let me give you a tour. So here, when you enter the shop, you have all the jewelry designers. So it's always a curation, it's not under our own brand. It's a curation of designers that we love,
And love and like.
It can be both,
works,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Works both on both, yeah, absolutely. Always trying to bring new designers to the country. So we just really work with designers where there's a special creativity that comes out of their jewelry and that are not already implemented in Dubai.
Yeah.
Salut, Karine. So this is, for example, we have this famous, she is the, this is Céline Daoust. She's from Belgium. She does those very refined gold pieces with diamonds and precious stones. We have, for example, Jackie Aish. She's from the US, from LA. Mm-hmm. Very cool brand as well. Funky, rock and roll, but still very chic.
So are they well known or is it like special?
Some are well known. For example, Jackie Aish, she's a superstar, but we would be the only ones here to have her. So it really goes, you know, with what we discover along our travels, along the fairs that we do. But here you have the very like fine mm-hmm. jewelry section.
So sorry, is it you just traveling and like picking up from the worldview?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, that's your baby selections.
And I think, I mean, for me, it's really quite easy because I always loved fashion. I always loved jewelry and food. So I would say that it's really an extension of, you know, who I am. And then, of course, now I have an amazing team with me that comes along and also have really understood the taste that I wanted to bring here, mm-hmm. which means that everything that is here is very authentic because
Emma's world.
The cool rock and roll but chic brands, they were not really in Dubai. You know how you have those very luxury high-end brands. So either you had that or you had the like super cheap ones, but the middle ground wasn't really there. You know.
Okay.
So this is what we try to.
All right, so you thought I'm going to tackle that
area. That, and a lot of people told me, don't do that. It's not of any interest to anyone here.
Is it back in the days, you mean?
Or yeah, back in the days. Yeah, back in the days. So here you come in the fashion area. So same thing, a curation of very selective brands, very high-end.
Is it only for female or this is something for me?
Yeah, so it's not nice. It's not nice because it's not for you and I'm sorry for that.
That's okay.
But we're trying to expand, so hopefully, because a lot of men are asking now, so I'm
searching. There is plans, yeah.
I'm searching for another villa and I would love to do that. Sophie Dor is a very well-known as well, a Belgian designer. And then you go come here in the little corner of Isabelle Marant. So Isabelle Marant, you also have Ulla Johnson, then you have R13, which is a very cool brand of mainly jeans and t-shirts. So here you're in all the, I'm not going to go around all the brands, mm-hmm. but you're in the fashion area, then you would have all the accessories, Golden Goose, Jérôme Dreyfus.
So it's like small content curated items.
Yeah, because again, we're not covering only one brand, so each time we buy with a brand, they know it's, you know, small collection, very curated. We're not placing huge orders because this isn't how we work. Yeah. And you know, when there's no more, there's no more, and that's
exactly. And how does it work? Does a brand, are they lease the space, or you guys buy it and
we buy.
You buy. You basically
sell,
own now, and then
you
work
on it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is how we work, and then. We have then also opened a bit more recently, maybe that's 3 or 4 years ago, because I think this was really missing, what we call the beauty section of Comptoir. Mm-hmm. Well, the clean beauty section of Comptoir, super curated in the sense that we want a very efficient brands in the beauty sector, but that are clean and not using any kind of chemicals and, you know, trying to avoid plastic. So this was also a very important part of the work, is always to find the best possible brands, but that are also respectful to your skin and the environment. And I think now we have, very, very strong brands that we're happy to join the Comptoir family. So for example, you would know Tata Harper, Dacite, which is a very good brand as well, Rahua for all the hair care, all this. For example, there's no plastic packaging. Mm-hmm. It's all made of PLA, which is a biodegradable. And again, I mean, a selection of brands we believe are the good ones for both efficiency and, as I said, their impact on the environment, the planet, and the skin.
So you guys like have like multiple different corner shops,
exactly,
in one
space.
Yeah,
so like this one, you hear, you don't want to, you know, you can just have it all, and you don't have to go elsewhere. Fashion, jewelry, accessories, beauty, homeware. So now we are arriving in the home decor, homeware section. Again, where we work with very good designers. Astier de Village, for example, is a French designer that is really, I mean, it's outstanding what they do.
Some of them look vintage, look, yeah?
They really have something special.
Yeah, how often you like renew? It's
very often. It's always moving around. And as I said, there's not that many pieces that we buy. So each time there's something going, then we would change the decor, move things around. Mm-hmm. So here we just had an exhibition because we also do art and we work with a lot of ceramists. And it was just now, it is in fact the week of Design Week in Dubai. So each time it's Design Week or it's Art Dubai, we always have artists, you know, showing their work. So again, always. So we're gonna go and get the artists that we want to exhibit and bring them again to the region showcase their work. So she's a Belgian designer, Caroline Follien. She also does those masks there that you will see.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna take you first here. So here we have the cafe section. Here's all the little retail section of good food, good little product. So it's gonna be, superfood. It's gonna be vitamins. It's gonna be very good selected teas, olive oils, chocolate.
Some of the local brands I recognize as well.
This is Mirzam, local brands. I mean, amazing quality. It's the best chocolate I've ever had. This is Symbiotica. It's a very good brand of vitamins. This is a brand of vegan proteins.
So you guys selling here or you guys as well have some kind of e-commerce?
Yeah, also have an e-shop. So you can also get the e-shop. Yeah.
All right. How do you call this corner?
The grocery. That's when something, the grocery. So this is an extension that we did for the restaurants because we didn't have enough tables. So we have built that space to allow.
Oh, you did that extension.
Yeah, we did that extension. I mean, we did a lot of work in that villa because when we took that villa, it was horrible, like really, really bad. So we did a lot of work and we made it, but still, keeping the touch
same kind of villa design.
Exactly, yeah. And then outside, you also have a small space. So now it's a bit hot, but you can also have a few. We usually have a few tables here, little garden area. So now it's we're going to start to open here soon. So here you have the inside section of the cafe. And then you go outside and you have this little area, which is really cool and a bit like another boho chic.
Looks very nice.
But it's like really a kind of a place where, you feel at peace and...
So that was part of the villa design or this is what you guys created?
So this was a garage.
Okay.
So we did create it, but it was like, it wasn't in this kind of shape. I mean, I took this villa in 2011 and as I said, it wasn't commercial. And so some people were living in there, but I think they had really abandoned the house for long. So it was a kind of a disaster.
Okay. And it feels now, my impression, it feels like a community because every time we walk, you're like, hi to everyone.
It is really a community.
You know a lot of people here.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's been here for 10 years and the people that do live here, it's kind of a, oasis of of peace. I mean, the food is also very good. So it's always, always with very, very vibrant community coming here, which is nice because, I knew the expats would know those kind of concept and those kind of brands, so I knew they would come. But I had no clue about the people of the region. You know, the Emirati, would they come? Would they like this kind of concept, the people of the region? And I don't know, the people from Kuwait, from Jordan, from Lebanon, whatever, you know? So for me, it's really, I'm really happy when I see them here.
I remember we spoke as well. Do you want to show the kitchen?
Yeah, I'll show you the kitchen, absolutely, yes. Okay. Okay, this is Christian, our chef.
Hi, Christian. Let's let cameras in, yeah?
Yeah.
Good morning.
So, Christian, we follow you.
Okay. So, this is where magic begins.
This is where the magic happens, exactly. Yeah, this is really... Hi, Dong, how are you? This is Dong, and our other chef. So, maybe we can show you a few things. What I wanted to share is that really here, everything is homemade.
Yeah, what does it mean, homemade?
I believe we don't buy anything industrial, nothing. We prepare with a lot of attention. We work with farms, local organic farms, as much as we can. Of course, you know the region, you know, and during the summer, not a lot of things are growing here. So we would buy from Lebanon, or I mean, we do import a bit, but we really try to be as sustainable as possible. We also try to limit the waste. This is also very important to us, so we're going to reuse everything. Mm-hmm. And when I said homemade, for just an example, we do our own almond milk. And when we press, for example, we do you know, smoothies, juices, fresh juices and all that, you get the pulp of those, which is, you know, organic, and it's only fiber, so it's very good. So this pulp, this leftover pulp...
Usually do throw, yeah?
We keep it, okay. You know, and we're going to do some pastries with it. We're going to do some crackers with it. Trying always to, you know, find a way to reuse. It's very important.
Okay.
Okay, so Christian, Christian, what do you want to show us a few things?
Yeah, sure. So what we're going to do is the almond milk now.
So those almonds, just for you to know, they've been soaked for 12 hours. So they always soaked overnight. And the morning after, they are properly rinsed, okay? We get rid of all the toxins that the skin has, okay? And once they are rinsed, then we're gonna use them. Mm-hmm. So this is how we do it. So you put your almonds, and then you're gonna mix them with water.
Why?
Of the making.
Why are you guys doing your own almond milk?
As I said, I told you, next time you buy like any kind of industrial milk, right, just read what's inside and you'll see, you know.
That's the reason.
We don't want any added sugar. We don't want any kind of refined oils. We don't want preservatives. We don't want that. I mean, my kids are eating here, so there's no way I'm going to feed them with any kind of poison.
So you want to make sure this is the best food you can get.
And I think it's really food as it should be. I mean, it's just that nowadays we don't have time. We just go for the, you know, fastest way to get everything. But this is real food. This is really nourishing food. And when you start to eat this way, you really feel a huge difference, you know, on your body, on your vitality, on your skin, on your energy level. It's really very addictive.
So my morning coffee will be served with this
always.
Almond milk.
Yeah, unless you really ask for something, you know, different, but or else it's going to be like that. This milk also, we could use it to do some vegan ice creams, which we do our own vegan ice creams as well. So this, you have a beautiful, beautiful almond
quick.
Milk. And it's quick. This is why I'm
really
telling
people, have 1.5 liter.
Do it yourself. It takes less time than going to the supermarket and buy it, you know. And then you put it in the fridge. It lasts for 4 days. It's amazing. The crackers that I told you know, when we do the juices, you always have this waste of...
So basically you use the leftover nuts from...
So this is the leftover from the almonds, okay? When you press it, you have that is left. The milk goes, and this is the pulp. Yeah, perfect. Okay, so you put it.
And then you have the leftover...
pulp.
No, this is from vegetable stuff from last
night. Okay, so this also, this is from last night?
Basically, this one.
Okay, so we're going to mix it.
So we'll just put it here.
So basically, whatever the cutouts,
whatever. So your crackers, they're always going to taste different. Okay. But we don't mind, it's okay. They're going to
So every time you're going to come here and try crackers, they
gonna
taste
different?
It's going to be
different because sometimes it's going to be some beetroot, sometimes it's going to be some leeks, sometimes it's going to be, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But at least we don't throw.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's no more space on the planet to throw, and how many people are, you know, don't have enough to eat. So it's really important to us.
All right.
Very important to us. Okay, perfect. So whatever you see, Brussels sprouts, because now we have a few recipes with that.
So basically, you guys are going to make like a dough?
So we're going to show you. Yeah, we're going to mix all that together, put some spices, salt, pepper, turmeric, you know, whatever. And sometimes they're going to come out, you know, tasting a bit more.
I really love these ones. And it reminds me, I don't know, my childhood.
This is the canteen,
I remember I was used to, I don't know, going to grandma or going to, or to canteen and back in the days at the home. This is how we ate.
Yeah, from this.
And I remember, I see this like, it feels tasty as well.
Yeah,
because it's back in the days, you know, this is how we...
I'm happy that you have memories to that. That's nice. We use a lot of spices also for the, you know, for the
flavor and,
and for the health benefits. For example, this is extremely anti-inflammatory. Turmeric is one of the best spices.
Turmeric, chia seeds, this is not the flax seeds,
Flax seeds, so it sticks together. And because we don't, they're vegan, so we don't use eggs in there. So they need to, you know, stick together. So flax seeds, chia seeds.
Next one is the flax seeds, grounded flax seeds.
Perfect. So everything in this kitchen is vegan?
No, it's not. It's the majority is plant-based, but it's just a very extremely healthy concept.
Yeah.
But this one is not vegan. And the menu is changing every day also depending on what we get, you know, from the farms. We don't always know what we're going
to
get.
That should be hard to... plan. Yeah, I mean, this is much easier if you have a menu set.
We know what we're going to get for the week. We know, so it's okay, we can plan for the week, exactly. And as I said, we're very flexible in changing the menu. So you're going to have this paste, okay? And all that is made of waste. This is something usually would have gone to the bin, you know? Just to show you how we work. Trying always to save as much as we can, to reuse, and to really, again, prepare recipes that are extremely healthy, well-balanced, using spices, using superfoods. I think it's quite unique. You're not going to see that very often.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you're going to have the paste. And then can we see the end crackers? We're going to put that, so we're going to be happy with the consistency, it's going to go in the dehydrator. So it's going to dehydrate at 42 degrees, not above that, so it stays alive. You know, we don't burn anything,
and
it's not too hot.
So you really
preserve, you know, the vitamins, and all the enzymes and all that. You don't kill them. And then you're going to place them there for how many hours? 8 hours?
Yes, actually we do it on the overnight.
Overnight, yeah. So depending on between 8 to 12 hours. And then you have those amazing crackers full of health that we serve to our clients.
So I can order crackers?
Yes, you can order crackers. They would come anyways with a dip. For example, we have, you know, whatever dip you would have, you know, you would get them with it.
So I mean, it's
and then you see how they come out. This is Jason, can we see? Okay, so that's the finished product. Okay? So it was there in the dehydrator for 12 hours. And there you go.
Looks good.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Good.
How is
so
it?
So happy.
Yeah.
Very good. Especially when I
saw... Is it your first time that you're having a coffee with the almond milk homemade?
Homemade, probably.
Probably, yeah. Well, it was about time.
Yeah. And, you know, tastes good.
Yeah.
And I know how it's made, and I saw...
You've seen it. It's just all fresh from the kitchen this morning.
Yeah, literally, like, 30 minutes ago, the guy just blended.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
That's good.
All right. I want to ask you a question. So when we did a tour walking, you said you opened 2012.
Yeah.
You bought villa 2011.
2011? No, I'm renting here.
Okay, yeah. You're still renting?
Yeah, I'm still renting, yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about what was the beginning. I mean, It's also, well, a big upfront cost to straight away rent and decorate everything and start.
Well, the beginning was really tough and very complicated for me because at that time I was living in New York. I'm French, I was living in New York. And we had to move from New York to here. So there was this was a big change because, I mean, it wasn't a country that I, you know, I wasn't familiar with the culture, with the rules here, with everything was very different from either Paris, New York or the other cities that I had lived in. I remember the day that I came with my three kids. They were at that time young kids. At the border, they had to give my passport, and I wasn't working at the time since I was just arriving. I was there for my following my husband, and they took my passport and they stamped it. They stamped it with a mention saying housewife not allowed to work.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, and I saw that, and it was complicated for me. I was like, what am I going to do here? You know, if I can't work, my kids are going to go to school, my husband is working all day, and I'm not allowed to work. I'm a housewife. Well, this is not going to work. This is not going to work.
It's not me.
It's not me. So I said, okay, look at me. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna try because there was no other way I was gonna be happy here, I really wanted to bring something new to the region, to the country, and I didn't really know what people would, you know, be happy to have. But I've always loved fashion. I've always loved food. I've always loved jewelry, and you know, and I said, well, let's try to do it, you know, all together and all everything under one roof, and let's see how it goes. And then it was again complicated because I was a woman, I wasn't allowed to work, so I had to have some NOC letters from my husband, from whatever, find a good partner here that could also help me to go through all the paperwork and all that. And plus a lot of people told me, you know, this kind of concept is not going to work here because it's, your restaurants with green and grains are of no interest to the people here, and the brands you want to bring in here, we're not sure they're going to work. And also being outside of a mall, this is not how people shop here. They all go inside a mall. So what are you going to do in a villa just along the beach? Nobody's going to come. But as I said, you know, it's also what I was bringing, because, you know, to this country, and it's also who I am, an extension of who I am, and it's anyways the only way where, you know, I would feel comfortable, and where I would, you know, my added value was this one, or else there was nothing. So after a lot of fighting around and trying to really stay authentic to what I had in mind. So we managed to sign this villa, to lease it. We did a lot of works. So we started. Very quickly it started to pick up, like very quickly. There we are, 10 years after all this.
And the concept was same from the beginning?
The concept was the same, and it was exactly the same from the beginning. The idea was to have everything under one roof. This is really what I wanted to have. There's a few concepts like that in Paris, didn't exist here. And I just wanted it to be a one-stop destination where you could, you know, if you wanted to spend a day here, you can have, you know, you have everything that that you need. The only thing that we have added that wasn't there from the beginning was what I showed you before, the beauty corner that came afterwards.
Okay.
And also the restaurant, the
extension.
Backside.
Extension,
yeah, the extension, because it's usually very full, and the weekends are extremely busy. But the idea of having under one roof, you know, some home decor, fashion, jewelry, and a restaurant was there from the beginning. A very healthy restaurant was there from the beginning.
Okay. Obviously now it's nice, business going well. But what was the challenges before? Because you said you got a lot of kind of skeptic.
I think all the admin part was a huge challenge at the beginning, because I was also bringing a concept that wasn't familiar to the country. So when I was going to try to get a license to be able to work, You here you need a license, and you can have a license in I don't know in fashion, you can have a license in home decor, you can have a license for to run a restaurant. But having all that together, they mm-hmm. were looking at me and they were telling me, go back and do your homework, you cannot have all that together. And they said, no, but this type of license do not exist.
Basically,
in
Dubai. We cannot put under
we
one
cannot,
license
you cannot have
that
it
different activities
exactly.
Cooking and fashion
didn't work for Rita. Them it was like oops okay. Or a red flag. But so it took us a lot of time to explain, to go back, to talk about our business model, business plan. But here in Dubai, I really feel that, you know, when once you've gone through all this, then it really picks up. There's a lot of energy, there's a lot of good vibes, people are really happy with, you know, new concepts growing. It really helps too. Once it was there, yeah. it went really fast.
How did
really
you
fast.
Sort that challenge? I mean, what, you got different licenses or you managed somehow?
I can't even remember, but I think at the end we managed to have two licenses, one for the restaurant and one for all the other stuff, which was already amazing.
That was the
we
option.
Finally had a license that was covering, you know, all together, beauty, fashion, jewelry, home decor.
And
I think it was the first time.
Yeah.
And the kitchen was the second
separate,
license.
Yeah.
It was
but
separate.
Now,
we still have two licenses.
Oh, you still?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, you know.
If you want to run that, this is what you need to do. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's yeah, the kind
okay.
of taxes that you need to pay, yeah.
All right. And I don't know, what was maybe the breaking point when you suddenly start to realize, okay, it works, people accepting it?
I would say it started, of course, obviously, with all the French people coming here, all the expats, because they knew the brands. The question was, are the people of the region going to, you know, really like this kind of food place, you know? But I think really food unites, you know, really a lot. And when the food is good, people come back, and it, you know, it really is, you know, it brings all this kind of mix of culture and people, and it's great to see that today. Of course, there were, you know, moments where we were extremely proud of winning many times the award of some awards for best healthy restaurant in the region, best concept store, best home decor design store. So all of this helped a lot. We had a lot of press, because again we were bringing something very new to the country. So all this together, you know, us also being always there and, you know, behind the brand and staying very authentic to what we had in mind and doing no compromise, I think it's also something that, you know, is
are you
helping to stabilize and even grow the business.
Okay. You are the face of the brand?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Apparently I am, yeah.
So okay, people, yeah. When whoever visiting,
yeah,
they
because
know.
I said, you know, this concept is really an extension of who I am, you know. I think it's also that. I mean, this house is like my house, you know. It's very natural, and I think it's also, you know, promoting a lifestyle that is a very healthy lifestyle, and I mean, people relate to that. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it's good or bad that person attaches to the brand?
To the brand, it's good, for sure. You know, I mean, to me, it wouldn't be good if, you know, if I was too much of the face, because, I mean, the day that I will go, I mean, the business has to continue to be sustainable. But, I mean, now, even without me, it's a business that's...
Okay, so basically, you don't need
No, I don't need to babysit anymore.
No.
And okay. I have an amazing team here, and I know it's pretty up and running.
And I guess in the beginning, you kind of did a lot.
Yeah.
Of yourself, I don't know.
A lot, everything.
I don't know. Did you work
in
the kitchen?
I was inside the kitchen doing the smoothies, the recipes. Of course, I was also. I mean, yeah, I did. I mean, we were three, four people working here,
okay.
You know, at the beginning. So now I'm doing really what's really my added value, which is really mostly the creative part of the business, which means I do the menu, the recipes, I do all the buying and, you know, and stuff like that. But I mean, the daily operations, I don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I have a fantastic team here, but I'm very much
hands-on,
still
yeah.
hands on. Yeah.
Well, what was the best decision, let's say, to hire somebody that released your time or elevated the business to the next level?
When you can, you know, reach those people that actually teach you rather than you teaching them.
Exactly.
It's fantastic because you can really rely and you can really focus on what you know how to do best. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah. So if I would formulate a question, let's say there is a small team, 3 people running the coffee shop.
Yeah.
What would you suggest to hire first in order to grow?
Well, you need a very good chef, that's for sure. You
okay,
know.
Chef.
Yeah, for sure.
Not a business developer.
Depends what your strategy is. I mean, if you want to do some catering, B2B, or develop your brand, then you need a business developer. If you want, just if there's only one business and you want to focus on, you know, recipe, quality of the food, yeah. I would say it really depends on what you want to do.
But it's a good point, Irish.
Yeah.
Have a good chef, because that's...
Of course, but, you know, it was also something that was a very complicated at the very beginning, because here, I mean, plant-based foods didn't mean anything to anyone. Nobody knew how to do, cook without, using animal product or butter or milk or stuff like that. Doing their own almond milk, they had no clue. So all that was a real challenge, also to really educate the team inside the kitchen to do it, you know, in a different way.
Exactly, in the kitchen, but then obviously your audience.
Yeah, also.
Your yeah. clients. So how did you promote that, or how did you educate it?
I think the word of mouth was the biggest help, I think, you know. I mean, as I said, we had a lot of press, which helped a lot at the beginning. And then, you know, staying very consistent with the quality of what you offer, I think is really paying off. And when people talk in a good way about your brand, they're not paid for that. So
okay, you don't need to advertise them.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what are the challenges to run this multiple area, let's say, business under the same roof?
The fashion shows, for example, there's a lot of fashion weeks in different countries where you need to attend the shows. So that's one sector already, fashion. So you need to curate well what you want, what kind of brands you want to have. But then you have the design fairs that do not happen at the same time than the fashion fairs, so you also have to travel for that. Same with the jewelry, same with the beauty. So yeah, you always have to keep your eyes open, making sure that you have the cool and good brands there.
Okay.
And not missing out. It requires a lot of time, and this is maybe the most challenging for me.
Yeah.
Is to find enough time to do everything.
So you travel, fashion, design, exhibitions,
yeah.
jewelry.
Yeah.
But at the same time, also you're running kind of a coffee shop,
yeah.
a kitchen.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And I also have I don't know if I told you that, but I also have a vegan chain of restaurants called Wild and the Moon, and I have nine restaurants in Paris. I have 3 in Dubai. I have a few in Amsterdam and all that. So yeah, it's a lot of work. You just need before you go ahead with projects like that, you just need to make sure you really want to spend many years working and
yeah.
doing nothing else.
And Wild and the Moon,
yeah.
they are purely like coffee shop, or as well some kind of mix
restaurants, but no,
restaurant.
No retail. Yeah.
Okay, restaurant.
100%
yeah.
plant-based,
yeah.
so vegan restaurants. And
why? So
why?
Why did you start that as well?
Because I became vegan, and also when you're in a food and beverage business, of course you're thinking about how to do it the best possible way, and you're considering. Well, at least I was considering, all the problems related to food. We're wasting way too much, and we don't know where to put it. So, it's crazy, and also, I mean, some people are have just too much, and some people are in needs like crazy. What can we do to try to, be a bit more responsible and in trying to resolve those problems? Because obviously the food model as it exists today doesn't work. you know, so how can we improve it? And this is how I came up with Wild in the Moon, which is very responsible, which is purely vegan, purely organic. So for me, it's the next step is, you know, how to be even more impactful and responsible. And I think also, you know, having three kids, you know, you think of how can I just try to build a better future for them.
Honestly, how do you manage your time? I mean, you have mother of three, many restaurants.
I think it's really, you know, surrounding yourself with the good people, because obviously there's no way I could do that alone. So it's, I mean, it's crucial to have, you know, to have the good people around you. I don't know, I just, maybe I work fast, you know, and I do things quick, and when I have an idea, it's always very clear, I know where I want to go.
So you're a very strategic person?
No, I'm not. No, but I just, it's all my gut feeling. I think confidence and all that grew along the way, but yeah, this really helps. And I mean, I have to say, I have three fantastic kids, you know, they're very responsible for themselves, and they knew that I was working a lot, their dad was working a lot. When I first opened Comptoir here, I moved and I took a villa like just 2 minutes away, so I knew they would come and they would spend time with me and we would be together.
You mentioned that your secret is to surround yourself with good people.
For sure.
Well, how does it work? Where I can find these good people?
I'm not going to give you that secret, no way.
What do you do?
I'm keeping that for myself. I don't know, maybe being kind to people and, you know.
Do they believe in your vision or what?
Yeah, I mean.
What do you think?
I mean, I would say that 80% of the people that are here today were here 10 years ago. So I think, you know, it's a tribe, it's a family here. I mean, usually when they come, they stay, unless they have to go for family reasons and stuff like that. But they've been very loyal.
Okay. In every restaurant or branch, you have a manager? Like, do you do a weekly or monthly meetings? How do you feel the pulse of what's happening everywhere?
Yeah, as I said, I'm not in the operations anymore. So I have in Paris, for example, I mean, it's a struggle, I mean, for sure. I mean, all the food and beverage industry is struggling hiring people, that's for sure. But here it's easier. Dubai is way easier. But in Paris it's tough. And there's not many people that want to work in this industry anymore. But of course, there's meeting, there's you know, them being part of a whole project. I mean, Wild in the Moon is also a project that make people very proud because, as I said, it's very impactful and it's very...
All these values.
Yeah, with all those values. So people are happy to join, I would say, this kind of movement. So maybe this also helps a lot for us to hire people and, you know, get good CVs and... you feel you belong to something good, because I really believe that, I mean, there's no better business than a business that does good, and people really feel that, so probably it must help a lot.
I like the keyword that you said, movement.
Yeah, movement.
You're creating a movement.
Yeah.
How does it, UAE, I know, supports you, especially now, like everybody talking about female entrepreneurs, but maybe back in the days, that was not that kind of strong keyword.
Not the direct support, but I mean, we have a lot I've participated to a lot of talks, you know, in the region about how to do a business here. And so I did, I would say the majority of that would be talks that I was invited to give, you know, forums, talks.
Now it's popular to talk about sustainability, about healthy food, healthy kitchen. Yeah. And sometimes it feels how much is a talk and how much is actual job.
Yeah, of course.
So how do you guys managing find that balance in terms of business and actually
but
do
for
that?
Me there's no balance to find it. It's the way it has to be. It's so in fact what you do is that once you know what you want to do, and sometimes it is complicated because of course there's a faster way to go, there's a cheapest way to go, there's a conventional way to go. All those conventional choices are not the ones I want to go for, and I'd rather close, shut down, and I'm very serious when I say that, rather than to compromise. I'm not going to do that because this is not who I am. And I think people all today, they really want, they want clarity. They want you to be honest. They want you, they want to know. And I think, I've always given that, and I'm going to continue this way. And I'm not going to take a shortcut.
So do you think consumers or clients would feel?
Of course.
If you start cutting the corners?
Of course, right away. I mean, I feel it in any kind of restaurant. If I go somewhere, I'm going to know right away. Yeah. So, I've claimed all that for so many years. So how am I going to step back? How am I going to go, and what for? It works well this way. And I'm pushing on the other way around, wanting always to be more responsible, cleaner. Less packaging, more local, all that. So we're always trying to find solution that goes that go towards that rather than stepping back. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna step back.
Yeah, good to know. And kind of different business models. In Comptoir 102.
Yeah.
How does it? Let's say income splits percentage wise.
I would say. It's pretty much well balanced between the two, the retail and the restaurants. But I would say, 60% would be the revenue coming from the retail, and 40% coming from the restaurants. But sometimes it's 50-50.
So it's not that big a difference?
So, sorry?
It's not that big
a
difference.
No, there's not a big difference.
You mentioned as well you guys have e-commerce or e-shop.
Yeah, we have as well an e-commerce, yeah.
So would you see that trend? Shifting towards e-commerce?
No, not at all. You know why? Because we are really a destination, I think. We are really a place where people want to just spend time and have really the experience. And just buying online can be provided by anyone, and there's no comptoir experience when you buy online. It's just like a click.
So most probably people land to the e-shop first after they visit this place?
I don't know how they do it. If I don't know in which, but as I said, I think Comptoir really became a destination, and it's in every guide, and it's in every, even on Emirates Airline now you have a little, film on places to visit, and Comptoir is in there. So yeah.
Okay. How did you guys end up there?
I have no clue. One day I was looking at it, and I saw Comptoir.
Okay.
And Wild in the Moon, so yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so
that generates a lot of traffic.
That was fun.
Is there any statistics or something? How long usually in UAE coffee shop or any?
Last,
yeah.
I don't know if there are statistics, but from my experience, not long. Really not long.
Would you guess how long?
I don't know.
I know you see around.
I would say 3 years. 3 years, and I've always wondered why, but there's always a big buzz around the new concept opening, as I said. And then the founders or the owners are not as involved anymore, and they just step back a bit, and then it starts to go down, and then it just crashes.
Okay, yeah. So your secret maybe consistency.
I don't know. Yeah, probably, and really being different also, bringing something very new. Mm-hmm. And always, also being very creative, always with coming with new brands, new designer, having art exhibition, having design exhibition, all that is, when you come to Comptoir, there's always something new. So it's also that, trying to be very active in that is also probably something that helps.
We spoke a little bit about this kind of greenwashing thing, when somebody more talking than actually doing.
Yeah. It's a trend today to say that you are healthy and your food is whatever good for yourself, for you, for the planet. So everybody tries to jump on the trend, which in a sense is good, because I'm really hoping that people actually really do what they say. You see a lot of places that if you get actually go inside the kitchen, you understand that it's pure greenwashing. But as I said, I think at the end people always know. And when it's homemade with love, Nothing industrial, nothing nutty in your food. You just feel it in your plates. You just feel it in your body.
And how are you guys running, let's say, marketing or sales?
Marketing, we have, I mean, Instagram is doing very well for us.
We
have
visuals?
A very, very strong database now. You know, we've been, again, working here for 10 years, so we have a strong database. So we do emails, we do newsletters, many guides. We also reference in all the hotels. It's quite natural. I mean, we haven't paid any ever, I think. We've never paid any ads in a magazine or something.
You mentioned the newsletter.
Yeah, for sure. When we have special events, of course we would do that, so people know what's going on, and you know, they come if they're interested. But I don't think we're very pushy. So yeah.
Okay. And maybe any partnerships that you did that, I don't know, put your name to the wider audience?
I mean, the brands that we work with are very, you know, I mean, they're the big designers, they're big brands. They also help us a lot to bring, you know, clients to us.
You mean they're kind of followers?
Yeah, they're followers. They would say, listen, we have our collection selling at Comptoir. So this helps a lot, all those kind of collaboration that we do with all those brands. I mean, we are always referenced on their website and all that. So yeah, I believe it helps a lot.
Okay, yeah. Good. So Comptoir 102, what's next? How this space could look like in the next
years? Trying to get rid of the neighbor, but it's very complicated. He's very stubborn. He doesn't want to go.
What would you like to expand?
I would love to expand.
You feel there's a need?
Yeah, I would love to open a department for men.
Like
clothing.
We spoke today?
Yeah. So this is also something I have in mind, and I have many ideas in mind I would like to do as well. A kind of a little hotel. I would like to do, more bread and breakfast, but I would love to do that. I have a lot of ideas. I just need more space, but we'll get there. And I'm also now, I mean, focusing on the development of Wild in the Moon a lot. So now we're looking into opening Wild in the Moon in London. I just can't do everything at the same time, but it will come.
It looks like you have a lot of time. You just need space.
Yeah, time, I'm not sure I have that much, but
I'm sarcastic.
I wish, yeah.
All right, and so Wild in the Moon,
yeah.
Yeah, it's expanding.
Yeah.
And Comptoir 102 is only one space.
Yeah, you only have one. And I don't want to have another one in the city, because I just feel it's one of a kind. I don't want to replicate Comptoir, at least one per city, I would say, but yeah, I don't want to have another Comptoir in Dubai, but maybe I will open somewhere else, you know, in another city one day. I'll see, but for now I'm mostly focusing on developing Wild in the Moon, so it is my priority right now, and running the business here of Comptoir, of course, but
this is like home base.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, well, I wish you to find the ways how to expand.
Yeah, we will find it. Yeah, thank you.
And we can visit you.
Yeah, for sure, next
time.
Yeah, I'll show you around the new men clothing fashion area, and
sounds good.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys, what a great way to finish our episode. Big table full of food. I'm inviting you to all come to Comptoir 102, enjoy the food, check retail spaces, meet Emma, talk with her, talk about business, talk about future, and let's enjoy the food. Put the cameras down and let's enjoy ourselves.